You're listening to the Zen Courses Show, episode number 5. Woosa. Gotta get my mojo.
Oh, yeah, get it. Do whatever you gotta do. If you have to do a couple woosahs, like, I don't know.
Welcome to the Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, the Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. What's up, everyone? Today, I am super excited to have Caroline Weingart as guest on the Zen Courses Show. Caroline and I were introduced by her partner in crime, Jason Zook. And I have to tell you that I fell in love with everything on her site and her colorful energy. You might know her from her amazing site, Made Vibrant, where she helps soulful creatives design lives that are more aligned with who they are. Caroline, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, that was like, I think the best intro I've ever had in my life. I'm just going to record that and put it in my pocket.
I'll send it to you. So is there anything you want to add to that intro? Can you tell us a little bit more?
I mean, I think it's just perfect the way you know. So like Janelle said, yes, I started a learning community for what I call soulful creatives, which is kind of this intersection of personal development and then also creative people. So, and it tends to be a lot of solopreneurs. They're trying to make a living out of their creative talents. And so it's not only the business growth that kind of comes along with that, but also the personal growth and some of those more sort of deeper topics, emotional topics. So I kind of mesh all of that together over at Made Vibrant.
Okay. So I like to start things off a little bit differently to help people get to know you a bit.
Yes.
So I've got 5 quick questions. Are you ready for this?
Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at rapid fire. This is going to be hilarious. Go ahead. I'm excited.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl, only because I'm really not an early bird.
One thing that you have to do every morning?
Ooh, have coffee. Is that a terrible answer? But like, I'm a zombie if I don't.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Let's see, some type of conglomeration of an architect / doctor / nothing related to being an artist whatsoever.
Total 180. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. What's one thing that you absolutely cannot live without?
Jason and my dog Plaxico. Aww. They're my peeps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very sweet. Favorite mode of transportation, feet, bike, train, car, boat, or plane?
Oh, so many options there. Who knew there were so many options? I could seriously injure myself on a bike, so we're going to go ahead and just eliminate that. I would say I would choose feet. I really enjoy like a good walk, a good hike. Yeah. So
very nice. I love that. Feet and bike people are my favorite people.
Oh.
So they're nice. Okay. So let's get into it. Let's share a little bit. You went from advertising to Made Vibrant. Let's talk about, can you share a little bit about the journey and how you came to be an entrepreneur?
The journey felt like an eternity, which is why I think journey is a good word. My path was kind of an interesting winding one. So like I kind of touched upon, in college, I was in advertising, but I was kind of this like super overachiever girl. I wanted to be this top ad executive. I had these like madmen dreams of being, you know, kind of living the New York City glamorous life. And I had an internship in New York City and very quickly realized that I hated the pressure of it. I hated it. Just, it didn't feel creative. In fact, it felt the opposite of that. And so I decided New York wasn't for me, and kind of threw a couple other advertising agency jobs, very quickly learned that the agency world was not going to be a place where I could have the flexibility I wanted, to have the creativity I wanted. My spirit felt incredibly sort of dim when I was in those corporate environments. And that's the best way I can describe it. But So at the time, my boyfriend Jason, as you mentioned, he is an entrepreneur through and through. And it had never even occurred to me until I met him that you could just start your own business. Why don't they tell you that in school? You know, like there's this other hidden option, like, you know, or option D, you can create your own kind of thing. And so I really was attracted to the entrepreneurial life that he was kind of living. And at the time he had a business called I Wear Your Shirt, and he was doing this really interesting social media marketing through t-shirts, and he needed a person to run sort of the operation side. And I kid you not, I like pitched myself to him. I was so desperate to leave like the corporate world, and I was already helping him so much. So I was like, listen, this is why I'm the best hire, and like gave him like borderline PowerPoint presentation. And he agreed, even though our friends and family thought it was the worst idea. Like we were going to immediately break up. We were going to have to fight over the dog. It was going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But I loved it, and we loved working together, and I loved the ability to wear so many different hats and to wake up in the morning and create my own schedule and to work around my creativity. And on the side, I started teaching myself design programs. And so that's where the transition kind of went to Made Vibrant. I started doing freelance design, completely self-taught. And then, yeah, so for the first year of Made Vibrant, which was last year, 2014, I was doing all freelance web design and brand design. So that's kind of where that emerged.
That's a cool story. And not a lot of couples can work together. So I commend you.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, well, I don't want to say it's a good sign. Because then I'll be my own. I'm not one of those
in the other category. I think it could totally go both ways, and you just have to like have a very honest conversation with yourself about which category you're in.
Yes. Okay. So you got into, what was your first paid learning product? Did you start with guides or what was it?
Oh, that's a good story. I'm glad you asked that because it wasn't a course. A lot of people think that it was my lettering course, which I released in October of last year. That was my first successful paid product. So in the summer of last year, so I love to write. I write a lot at Made Vibrant. I have a Monday morning newsletter that I've been writing for since I started my business. So I think I'm on like week 84 by now. And I love it. And so I started toying with this idea of like letting your intuition lead you in your business decisions and actually leading people through a process of that. Cause it can feel very sort of out in the ether, not very concrete. And I wanted to give people an actual practical process. So I thought I'm going to write these e-guides. They're going to be part workbook, part, ebook type thing. And I put my heart and soul into this thing and I released it. And I mean, it sold a handful.
Yeah.
But that was the first lesson where I kind of felt that sense of like, it's okay that this didn't make me money. I still felt like it needed to be out in the universe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And now recently I just released the second issue of it. Like I redesigned it. I redesigned some of the worksheets and people have been raving about it. So that just goes to show you that sometimes the timing's off. Sometimes you're not ready for it. But all of those are learning opportunities for sure.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Even if something flops, you learn so much. The next time you do it, you can rock it out, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes it's just about getting over that first hurdle of like the fear of putting something out there and seeing if people pay you money for it.
Yep.
And even just getting over that fear, I think if that's the only value that first product brought me, then that's, you know, worth it in spades for me.
So why did you decide to make the transition to online courses?
So it kind of was a bit of an accident sort of. So, Jason had worked on a course before. I think he had a few under his belt at this point. And I actually got, invited to do a live workshop on hand lettering. So for about almost a year previous, I had been really cultivating my hand lettering skills and posting these daily pieces of art on Instagram, and people were enjoying them and they could really see the process. But I found that there wasn't a course out there that was affordable for like a hobbyist, you know, like everything that I found was like, you're a graphic designer and you want to make, you know, lettering, you want to get paid to do commissioned lettering work. So I was like, you know, I don't know. So I got invited to do this event, and I already had all the slides for it, and people seemed to really enjoy the live teaching of it. That was also kind of where I found, like, I love this teaching aspect, this live in-person thing. And so Jason said, well, you already have the content. You already figured through how to teach someone this. Why don't you just record the videos, turn it into a course? And I told him, well, I just want it to be $20. Like, mm-hmm. I just want it to be super affordable for someone who's looking to just get into it. He's like, I think that's great. Because everything you see online, I feel like, is you have to price it at this. And right. you have to, like, know your value. And I kind of wanted to just prove that that's not the only route that you can go. So I did the lettering course. And I did all the videos, made it this $20 course. And it just took off. I mean, it really did. So yeah. I was as surprised as anybody.
I love it. I was going to ask you about that because your pricing for a lot of your products is lower than, you know, we see everything is like $47 million, right?
Right. And which there's a place for that.
There is a place for that, but there's also a place for recognizing that maybe your people just want to do it as a hobby. They just want to get into it, check it out. And then maybe they don't do it forever. Maybe they don't look to make paid work out of it. So I love that.
Thank you.
Okay. So what challenges did you encounter when you started creating online courses?
Oh, great question. I think the first one is a little bit of a weird case because I kind of did the content and then the recording of the course and like the putting it together kind of thing separately. Okay. So maybe I can speak to my experience with my second course a little bit better because I feel like that's much more representative of sort of I have an idea for this course and then to execution. So the biggest challenge I think for me was, first of all, sitting down and doing the work,
that's hard.
It requires hours and you have to love it throughout the entire process. There comes a point where you're so excited by your idea and about halfway through when you're working on this content and you're like, I just recorded that twice and it sounded terrible. Like where you're just like, can I be done with this? But you push through and you remember why you wanted to teach people this in the first place. But then the other thing, which I do think was challenging for me, and I think it's challenging for a lot of people, is really organizing your thoughts. So it's the content part. It's like, how do I structure this in a way that people will understand? How much content is too deep? How much content is not enough? Yeah. It's all of those second guessing questions when it comes to the actual content of the course.
That's one of the number one questions I get is how do I organize my course? Mm-hmm. So how did you overcome that challenge?
Yeah, the first thing I always do, and again, I think everyone's process is different. So I think you have to work with what you know are your strengths. I know for myself that my biggest enemy is a blank page. If I stare at an open Google Doc, I'm going to cry. So the first thing I do whenever I have an idea for anything, a product, a course, whatever, open the Google Doc and just start typing. Everything, it's like all those conversations I've had with myself in the shower or on a walk or, you know, with friends about what I want it to be. And I don't worry about the order of it. And I don't worry about if it makes sense or how to tie it together. And I just literally, I think Jason calls this a brain dump.
Yeah.
Just brain dump. And that's when that fear of like the blank page kind of goes away and I can start to rearrange things. And it starts almost the content tells me how it should be taught. Stuff starts to be grouped together. It starts to make sense. So that's kind of how that formulated.
So you start seeing patterns.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think another thing that's helpful, I think that if you're doing a course that's related to some type of one-on-one work that you've done before, that can a lot of times inform your process. So for instance, I had a year under my belt of doing these brand design projects with clients, mm-hmm. and then I had moved into doing one-on-one coaching. So they would come to me with the same questions, and they kind of had the same roadblocks before getting to the next thing. So that always would tell me, okay, we need to talk about the mood board before we talk about the design elements, you know, things like that. So I think even if you don't have a one-on-one service, if you can seek out those ideal customers and kind of walk them through stuff, they will tell you what they don't understand. You
Absolutely.
Know?
That's one of the number one things that I tell people is it's just like writing. You have to have someone in mind and know what they're looking for. So I love that you said that, like focusing in on either clients you've had before as your learner, or you just know kind of what the questions are.
Sure.
So we kind of mentioned it, but you have two course offerings. You have Better mm-hmm. Branding and Better Lettering. So tell us about Better Branding, since that's the course that just was reopened.
Yes.
Let's talk about it. What is Better Branding?
Oh my gosh, this is my baby and I love it. So I'm glad you asked. So similar to kind of how you were talking to me about with Zen courses, like I saw this desire that I wanted to work with solopreneurs when it comes to their branding. But when I was doing my design services, they couldn't afford my design packages. So I put myself in the position of just starting my business. Like I've got this great idea or I want to take it to the next level, but I don't have thousands to spend on a brand. I maybe have hundreds. And so I sort of started thinking of this idea of how I could make a course format that would walk someone through the branding process, even if they had never done design before. So that was another big part of it, is I wanted to tailor this course to the person who's terrified of design, you know? And I wanted to teach them how to think like a designer. So when they approach, you know, their logo or when they approach their font choices, what are my mental processes as a designer that comes naturally to me? How can I teach someone that that may not come as naturally to them? So the branding course is 4 main modules, and I believe it's 19 lessons. So those are broken up within each module, but it takes you through the process of sort of understanding what your personal story is and why you started your business and what all of those kind of those interesting and unique tidbits that make your business unique. And then in the concept module, we talk about how do you tie that together? How do you say that succinctly? Because people, you know, you ask them like, oh, so what do you do? And they're just like, bah. They just start like listing off things. Please say that one of these is something you want to hear. So we talk about how to tie that up and then to translate that sort of conceptual foundation into a visual foundation. So one thing I also found in a lot of my brand coaching interviews is that especially like in other branding courses, there's this gap between like, okay, I know that this overall branding looks cool, or I know that this overall branding looks, you know, sophisticated, but I don't know what the individual elements are that make it feel that way. Mm. So I realized that there was what I call this visual vocabulary that was missing. So I teach people, okay, so here are the type of fonts that read as sophisticated. Here are the type of colors that read as cool. And so we can kind of start to build up that vocabulary for people who design doesn't come naturally to them. And then at the very end, there's 2 tiers for the course. So either a 3 module or a 4 module option. So at the end of the 3rd module, they walk away with this beautiful brand board, which has their font, their logo, their colors, and they do it all themselves. And then if they are the higher tier, the 4 module, I teach them how to plug it into a Squarespace site. So they actually walk away with a beautifully branded website.
Very nice. And we're going to get into Squarespace because I want to talk about that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So there's a couple questions in my mind right now, and I'm going off my list here. So
yeah,
totally it's okay. Impromptu.
I'm good at improv.
So let's talk about structure. You said you've got 3 or 4, and then 19 lessons.
Yeah.
Branding. How did you? I mean, I know you said earlier that you decided you look at the content, you find the patterns, you mm-hmm. think about your learner and what they're looking for. But how do you structure your content to make sure that your learners are learning? Like, what elements do you include to drill in those concepts?
Well, I'm a big worksheet person. Like, I'm a huge interactive, because I know how I learn. And like, if I read something and walk away from it, I didn't really apply what I just learned, right? Yeah. So I think that I built in a ton of worksheets in this course and exercises to make sure that they're actually then, they're taking it in, they're absorbing it, and then they're applying it. But in terms of the main like structure for the course, I wanted to make sure that with each main module, it made sense to me that there was like a major takeaway before they could kind of move on to the next big step of the process. Mm-hmm. So with story, the first module, really the main takeaway there is kind of understanding your origin story and what led you to your business. And so what we do there is they come away with 5 tone words that they pull out of like all of these different worksheets that we've done. Then moving on to the concept module, the main takeaway there, like that they have to do before they kind of like move on to anything else, is their mood board. And then in the final one, that's the brand board. So the way I structured it was like, if there was this one critical piece that someone would need to actually complete before moving on, that's where I kind of made the breaks in the course.
Okay. Now, are there any concepts in branding that are particularly challenging? And if so, how did you approach them? Or did you give them a little extra effort or love?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a couple of things. It's one of them is fonts. People get very overwhelmed because A, it's this really fun and exciting thing where you're like, oh yes, it's so, you know, you can go to all the font websites and look at everything. But B, there's a million out there. So
a billion,
47 billion, I think is the number you used before. So, what I did to kind of combat that type of overwhelm is I gave them a formula of sorts, and which was kind of counterintuitive because if you talk to a lot of designers, like there is no design formula. There's, you know, it's a creative kind of discipline, but I knew that if I didn't give them some type of structure, they were going to go off the rails pretty quickly. Yeah. So that's kind of how I combated that. And that seems to be working really well. And it's funny. So we have a Slack community for the course. Like I love that they keep each other in check. The students do. So they'll be like, okay, I feel like you're going into, oh gosh, what do they call? Oh yeah. So they made up an acronym. So instead of fear of missing out, it's fear of missing out of fonts. So it's FOMOF. So you'll see people like, if somebody's posting like, oh, I just found this one, like somebody else will just post hashtag FOMOF. and that's kind of the indication for the other person to be like, okay, fine. I'm done looking. So that's one. Another one is I came up with this kind of concept that I talk about a lot in the course, which is the three nets. And this is kind of just a learning thing that I've learned to combat that overwhelm that I was talking about. Yeah. So with a lot of different sections in the course, we'll talk about the three nets. And that just refers to, so the big net is kind of like the phase where you explore. So you allow yourself to, so this is like if they were doing their mood board, this is where I would say, if this is your big net, like go on Pinterest and just pin the crap out of stuff. Like let yourself experience that creativity and like that kind of roaming free type of thing. And then we get to the point where it's the medium net and it's like, okay, now we're going to narrow this down into 30 or 40 pins in your private Pinterest board. And that's where I tell them, okay, it's medium net time. It's like, I always say like, you know, if everybody was welcome at the party in the big net, like this is where we hire a bouncer and like people start getting turned away at the door. And then the small net, of course, is like those final decisions that you have to make. And that's one of the biggest things that I found is people, they really fear making that decision because they think that I can always find a better this or a better color palette or this. And so I kind of have to remind people that, you know, the decisions are what's going to help you move forward and not just be in like, you know, kind of limbo for the entire duration of the course. So, and that seems to help well. Like some of those like little silly learning tactics really help.
Yeah. So frameworks is a big one that I heard there. And also, I don't know if you know this about yourself, but you are the queen of alliteration. We've got visual vocabulary. We've got font formula.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we've got to make some better branding.
I am a sucker for good alliteration. I love that you've picked up on that. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm just like, huh.
Yeah, and then just kind of having some acronyms to help people remember things.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, so before let's switch gears and let's talk about tools. You've kind of mentioned a couple of them that I want to talk about. I think this will be super helpful for everyone listening. First of all, what are the tools that you use to get better branding out into the world?
Google Docs is where I start. the second one would be, okay, so then once I kind of have the content, I know that not everyone does this, but I'm a writer. Like that's how I feel most fluid. So I write everything. And then I take the written, and then what's also a bonus is you can turn the written portion into an ebook. Ding, 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 people. and you can sell that separately. And so I take the written portion and I drop it into Keynote. For slides. And I love Keynote for a lot of different reasons, but they've really upped their like design tool game lately. So there's a lot of fun stuff that you can do there. So Keynote's definitely a big one. Then I use QuickTime. So I'll actually just live run through my slides, recording my screen using QuickTime. And then I will edit those using, I have an editor and his name's Jason and he's my boyfriend. I did edit my first lettering course in iMovie, just so you know. And I think I did a pretty good job, but he is an editing like mastermind. So he, I think, works in Final Cut. And then This time around, I used Wistia to host my videos. But if you have a lower price point and you don't want to pay for the pro account on Wistia, because I like the clean player. It just looks more professional.
Yeah, that's very nice.
But for the lettering course, it's $20. I host all of the videos unlisted. So, and then it pulls through in the course dashboard, and that's fine. I make sure that the player options are clean. So it doesn't look so much like YouTube, but no one's complained about that. And then other tools, Teachery is a big one. So then I upload everything to my course platform, which is Teachery, which also happened to be created and founded by my boyfriend. He's coming out of this interview sounding pretty awesome.
Yeah, you've got some perks in this relationship here.
I do. And I will say he's got a full-time website designer on the staff that he uses to his advantage often.
Very
so
nice.
We do a little skill swap. And Teachery makes it so easy because you just upload the Wistia codes into your lesson pages, and you can include links to resources, and I love that. And then it also integrates with Stripe, so you get paid, and it's amazing.
Very cool. So just for anyone listening, I think with Wistia now, they just changed their free plan, and you can get 25 videos included in the free plan. So
perfect.
For anybody listening who's hasn't adopted Wistia, check them out. Love them.
That is good to know. I do love them.
Yeah, they're great. And their marketing is so fun. I love it.
I know.
They just make me feel good. Okay. So let's talk about Squarespace.
Yeah.
You use Squarespace. And I would say at least 85% of the people out there in the blogosphere are using WordPress. So I love that you use Squarespace. I am using Squarespace as well. And I just had a question from Winnie, who's one of my subscribers, who subscribes to the Zen Courses newsletter. And she wanted to know how to use Squarespace to do course stuff and products. I think it's important that people know they have options. So can you talk about why did you choose Squarespace over WordPress?
Mm-hmm. That's a really great question. I'm a design nerd. So just from the aesthetic of all the templates, they come just beautifully designed.
Yeah.
So I know that I'm starting off with something that is already very clean and well-designed. So that removes some of the effort on my end of having to like customize a WordPress template. B, I love that it's hosting in the box. So you don't have to worry about all kinds of crazy things like, buying your domain, then buying your host, then installing WordPress, and you don't have to worry about updates. It updates automatically. So I love all of the ease of use is a huge one for me. Squarespace with their latest release, Squarespace 7, also now has a live editor. So as you edit your site, you're seeing what it looks like to the outside world, which is amazing. So I can make design changes on the fly. I can see how an image looks, things like that. As far as courses go, I know that they do offer password protected pages now. So, it is feasible that you could have a beautifully designed e-course and you could put it behind a password protected wall.
Yep.
And you could just host the whole thing on Squarespace. And you can really have full design control there, which I love. I think it might be more difficult with the payment integration and things, but I haven't done that before, so don't quote me on that. But I love their feature set. I love the ease of use.
Yeah. So, and you're right, they do have those password protected pages, but you can also link out to other platforms. You use Teachery, there are other ones out there as well. Are there any tips or any bit of insight that you have for people who might be intimidated by Squarespace that you use to set up your products and run your business?
I would just say experiment. I mean, what another thing I really love about Squarespace is that it has the 2-week free trial.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I love that because even if you're intimidated, there's no excuse. They don't even take a credit card when you sign up for this free trial, which I also think is brilliant on their end. So I don't really feel like there's any risk in just signing up and messing around with it and seeing how it works. I think within an hour or so, it's really easy to kind of get the feel for things, where things are located, all of that. So that's, I guess, my biggest tip is just to experiment.
The only challenge I've had, and maybe you speak to this, is the cover pages. So what do you use for your landing pages?
I just use a page, like a regular page. And then I will, sometimes I will because I have some basic CSS and HTML knowledge, I will remove design elements to make it a more clean page.
Yeah.
So for the branding course, it lives on madevibrant.com/branding. And you'll see, like, I don't have my navigation links. I don't have my logo. I just have the course logo, the course content, testimonials, et cetera, and the buy buttons. So I removed those elements just using CSS. So, nice. You know, that's a little bit more advanced, but I agree. The cover pages are very limited in their, functionality.
I found so, and I do the same thing you do. So it's good to know that I'm not just out there rogue. As I
rogue.
Okay. So another tool that you use is Slack, and you use that as a community for your Better Branding course. What do you like about Slack? And I know you wrote a post about this. So can you share a little bit about Slack, why you chose it over Facebook, what you like about it?
I'm a Slack like fangirl now. this kind of idea came about because I did want a community feature for the course, but I don't spend very much time on Facebook anymore. And I actually really don't like it very much. And I was like, why would I create my own course and force myself to go to a place where I don't want to go every day? And also I just don't like that it's very distracting.
Yeah.
So I had been using Slack just as like a tool to drop links and chat with Jason and when he's out of town and stuff like that, just as like a work chat tool. And I thought, well, I think this could work for core students. And then I saw a friend of mine, Paul Jarvis, who was using it as a community element for his creative class. And I was like, this is brilliant. And he had this fantastic integration with a tool called Heroku that basically automatically would add people to the Slack channel if they could enter their email address. So it creates kind of like a splash page. You enter your email and you're automatically added to the team. And I loved that because it took the manual work out of adding each student. And it just, like, out of all of the things about this course, the Better Branding course, the Slack channel has been the best and also most surprising thing. Like, it just is this thriving community of people helping each other, and they'll post their files, which I also love about Slack. So if they finish their brand board, they'll post it. People can comment on it, or they'll post their worksheets. So like, oh, I just finished my brand canvas. Like, can everybody take a look at it? And they just help each other. And it's just been amazing to watch.
Yeah, the focus, and then you can search for things in Slack.
Yes. Which
is one of the things I love. If you have to come back to something, you can just put in a search term and find it. You can pin things. It's really great. It's absolutely great. Very nice. So one question for you about Slack. Did you anticipate that people would be resistant? And was that the case when you used Slack instead of Facebook?
I did think that people were going to be resistant, and I was pleasantly surprised that they were not at all.
Very nice.
So out of the students in the first 3 months that joined the course, 75% of them ended up coming over to the Slack community. And I would say probably 60% of the total students are active in there, which is like crazy high in terms of, I think, because, you know, some people are just individual learners. They don't want the community, which is fine. And that's to be expected. But 60% of people, and I mean like really chatting, really helping each other. They know each other's names. Like, it's super cool. So surprising.
Cool. Okay. So any final tips to share with anyone about building or branding an online course?
Ooh, building or branding an online course.
I gave you some options.
I know. I think for building, and this is just my own personal experience, but I feel like doing the smaller. So my first, the lettering course, the $20 one that I first started with, it was only 6 videos. And I ended up adding, I think, 4 bonus videos afterwards. But that, starting with something that was palatable and manageable, being only 6 videos, I think made it less scary. So that I would recommend if you're feeling like it's a little bit daunting, starting with a topic that is, you know, kind of maybe smaller, not something as broad as branding, right? And kind of start small that way. Another thing that I would say, which was just on the tip of my tongue, but now I'm losing it.
Oh, is it gone?
It's gone.
Oh,
it's gone. Totally
gone.
It'll
come back. Okay.
And it is probably the most brilliant thing I've thought
today. Definitely. Okay. Well, while it's off marinating in its brilliance. Yes. We will talk about, we'll go into the final 3 questions. Okay. Perfect. So question number 1, what is next for you and Made Vibrant?
Ooh, lots of exciting stuff. Definitely I have ideas for two more courses that I want under my belt. And one of those is a more of a lower priced offering, which is similar to the lettering course. And that will hopefully be coming out in October. And then the higher one is definitely something that's a little bit more, it's something I haven't done before. It's a lot more based around this idea that I kind of spoke about in the beginning of our interview about, I really want to touch on these more emotional aspects of what it's like to run your own creative business. And I don't see a lot of people going there. I think a lot of people love teaching and they love teaching these kind of hard, you know, and concrete skills, which I think is great. But I think that the community aspect and kind of leading people through things could be even more beneficial to some of the more emotional topics that come along with. So that is something that I would is a bigger kind of undertaking, and I can see that kind of coming down the pipeline in January. So that is on the course front. And then, you know me, Janelle, like, I don't know, I'm going to come up with something. I have a couple other projects that I'm trying to not get excited by and kind of focus in on the roadmap in front of me. But like, who knows? I'll just change my mind next week. It'll be great.
And that's perfectly fine. Just be you. Like,
exactly.
Okay. Where can people find out more about you and this exciting work of yours? Where do they go?
So definitely madevibrant.com will take you to all of the appropriate outlets. If I could lead you to one place specifically, I would say definitely sign up for my Monday newsletters. I pour my heart and soul into those little babies, and I send them out into the universe every Monday. And you can do that at madevibrant.com/newsletter.
Very good. And last question, what is your why? Why do you do this work?
God, love that question. I just have this very deep belief that when people are the brightest and fullest expression of who they were put on this earth to be, that the world is a better place. So I think that's maybe the big why, is just, I think helping people, you know, lead themselves to the best version of who they can be. I think we all benefit when that's the case. And whether I can do that through, you know, allowing someone to own their own creative business, or whether I can have them pick up a new creative skill and it kind of lights this artistic fire in them, or whether it's just, you know, reading a, you know, something that I've gone through as a business owner and they can relate to it. Those are kind of the three ways that I try and do that.
Beautiful. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you could tell, but Carol and I had so much fun recording that episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that it was valuable and that you learned a little bit about Squarespace and Carol's online courses. If you would like to check out the show notes, head on over to zencourses.co/005. That's zencourses.co/005. And if you have enjoyed this episode and the many other episodes of the Zen Courses Show, which I hope you have, please consider leaving a review on iTunes, even a rating that will help the show's rankings and help me to continue making these great episodes for you. Last but not least, if there's anything you need to reach me for, if you have a question, a comment, if you think that there's someone who would be a perfect guest on the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can reach me via email at hello@zencourses.co. That's hello@zencourses.co. This is Janelle Allen, and I will see you next time. Thanks for listening.